Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, you have won the victory. Hey, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have won it all for me, and death could not hold you down, for you are the risen King. You are seated in majesty, Lord. You down, and death could not hold you down. Oh, for you are the risen King. You are seated in majesty, Lord. Let's just give him a hand of praise. He's a risen King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Praise the Lord. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Oh, say how great, yes, is our God. Oh, sing with me how great is our God. Yes, and all will see how great is our God. Let's have that first verse. Oh, the splendor of the King, he is clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice, for he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice, yeah. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. Yea, and all will see how great. Oh, how great. Yes, is our God. Sing it again. How great is our God. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names, say, name above all names, and you are worthy of our praise. Oh, my heart will sing how great is our God. Come on, sing it again. He's the name above all names. Oh, name above all names. Oh, and you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing. Hey, how great is our God. Come on one more time, everybody. How great is our God. How great is our God. Yeah, yeah. Sing with me. How great, oh, is our God. And all will see how great. Oh, how great is our God. Come on and give him praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. I had a prayer request that I received and just wanted to mention it here so we can pray over it. It's a pastor there, I believe, is in Oklahoma, and he was just asking prayer for his wife. She suffered for years with debilitating headaches, and since going through breast cancer treatments in 2006, she suffered increasingly, and for the last few years, she has headaches of some form each day and only able to function by medications. She's been down with a severe episode for almost a week now, and they're going to a specialist on tomorrow morning, and he's just asking prayer for his wife, amen, and we want to just remember her in prayer. There's a number of needs that just kind of come often, and I'm just so glad we serve a great God, a God that's able to handle each and every one of his requests, and has an angel sign to bring the answers, amen, to the people. So we want to just commit that in prayer. Also, we want to remember the Ludort family in prayer. This is Brother Kelly, Sister Emmeline, Brother Fredo, and just some other family members there, brothers and sisters. They lost their mom on Sunday night, I believe it was, Sunday night that she passed. I understand that she was pretty ill, but she was also pretty young, I think 59 years old, and she passed. So they'll be having the homegoing service on this weekend. It's going to be in Boynton Beach there at 10 a.m., and I believe the name of the church is Peniel Haitian Baptist Church of Lake Worth. And I have the address. We'll put it on the board there for you. But they're saying due to COVID-19 guidelines, they're asking everyone to wear a mask, anyone that comes to the service there. So let's keep this family in prayer in their loss, and that God would just give them strength, amen, during this time. Let's bow. Lord, we come on behalf of, Lord, our precious sister who has been suffering, Sister Collins, God, there in Oklahoma, just been attacked in her body, enemy attacking her, and the only way she's able to function is with this medication. And Lord, I just pray that you would give her relief from this. God, whatever the issue that's causing this, that it would be corrected, it would be fixed. If God, if it's your will to use the doctors, then give them knowledge. Give them wisdom, God, that they could help this precious sister, Lord, and Lord, all the responsibilities that she has on her shoulders being a pastor's wife. Lord, be with her and just touch her, and God, just make her completely whole. We condemn whatever it is. We command it to loose her and let her go. You told us what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So God, we loose your healing virtue to flow from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that she would be made completely whole. God, we want to remember the Dort family in prayer and the loss of their loved one. Not easy at a time like this, oh God. And we just trust that you would give strength to the husband, the children, everyone else that is involved in this. God, give them strength. Help them, Lord, to just endure. And we just pray that this will be a time they can look down in the sands of time and see, Lord, that you are carrying them. So I pray, Father, that you would just help them, Lord, even as they prepare for the service this weekend. Help them, oh God, is our prayer. We are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated just for, amen, a little bit there. Just give the announcements. And then we will prepare for the word of the Lord on tonight. Certainly good to have Brother and Sister Capers back with us. Amen. They were away for the weekend. Praise the Lord. Brother Capers had a relative to pass away in South Carolina. And I believe the relative was 104 years old. So the Lord is good, giving them, you know, so much, giving that person so much life. But so glad that they were able to go and come back safely. And they brought greetings again from Green Pond. And if anybody know what Green Pond, when I say that, that means Brother Blue is looking for you. So we got to get something sorted out and worked out where we can get to Green Pond, South Carolina. Amen. And fellowship. I want to just tell you all, a lot of times we try to make plans to do things after COVID passes, and I'm going to just be honest, I don't know if COVID gone pass. Amen. We've been dealing with this. This is, you know, it came in 2019. We just didn't know about it, right? But this has been something on earth for at least 2 years. And it's not just going nowhere, right? So we're going to have to learn how to work through this. Amen. And I just pray that God would just give us wisdom on it. And I certainly look forward to us getting back into having some meetings. And I ain't the only one. There's people all over been calling, Brother Jack, what y'all going to do? What y'all going to do? We just haven't churched. That's all I can tell them, you know, but I am looking forward to a time where we can get back and have some more fellowship. Amen. The way that we were having fellowship. Amen. So don't forget Sunday morning service at 10:30, and those that are online, we will certainly be streaming, and we'll be happy to have you join us. Don't forget it's actually this month that Periscope goes away. So, if you're not doing it yet, we want to encourage you to move to the Facebook platform or just go directly to our church website, spiritandtruthtabernacle.org, and you will have the ability to stream the service there. We are in the midst of our time of fasting, and we thank God for this, and just want to encourage the church to continue, amen, during this, and just I believe that God will just do special things for us. I was telling somebody one of the things I have noticed, and even a little bit before the fast, but even through this, just there is a genuine revival spirit that is in this sanctuary. And I mean, when you talk about omnipotence doing something special, when you have a revival spirit like that, there is an anointing, a faith that elevates, where people just begin to believe for the impossible. And we expect the impossible. Amen. Because our God is a God of the impossibility. So I just thank God for the anointing. And I thank God that, you know, when it's like when you come here, you know, you're going to hear from God. Amen. You know, you're going to hear from God. And I just appreciate that. Amen. So we want to continue this time of fasting. Amen. And stay prayerful during this time, and trust that the Lord will just do something special for us. As far as our giving, amen, those that are in the sanctuary, we have a wooden box there on the table that you have the ability to give, amen, there. Those that are online, we have two forms of giving there online. One is through Cash App, the other through PayPal. Cash App, our handle is $SpiritAndTruthT. That will come to the church. Those that want to use PayPal, just make sure you choose the option of give to a friend or family member, and use the email address of giving at john423.org. If you desire to mail your offering in, you're certainly welcome to do that as well. The address to the church is on the bottom of the screen there, as well as it can be found directly on our website. So the Lord bless you. Let us pray over our giving tonight, and after that, we will prepare to receive the word of the Lord from our precious brother Ernie Villanueva. So good to have him here with us, amen, not only for tonight, but also for Sunday morning. We're just looking forward to all that God has in store for us, amen, on tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, oh God, for the privilege and opportunity we have to be able to give to you as you have given to us. Bless our giving tonight. Lord, I trust, oh God, that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. Be glorified, be magnified, be exalted in what we do here tonight. And Father, as we prepare to turn our hearts towards the word of the Lord tonight, we ask that you would use our precious brother Ernie in a special way. Lord, may the anointing just come fresh. And Father, just give him the words to speak to those that are here present and those that are joining online. Let the Holy Ghost have its way tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shall we stand to our feet? Let's welcome our precious brother Ernie to the pulpit tonight. Amen. As he brings the word of the Lord to our hearts. Only believe, all things are possible if we only believe. Oh, all things are possible. Oh, if we only believe. Everybody say, only believe. Well, now,
bless you, saints. It's a great privilege to be with you once again. I was thinking as I was driving down to West Palm Beach that last year, the last assembly that I was able to be with was your assembly. And when I went home, they closed the border down in Canada. And I live on the U.S. side, only 1 mile from the Canadian border. And I have not seen my pastor since January of last year. And in our church, the only ones that can be present is the ministers and the song leaders and the technicians, but nobody can be in the church. And they're serious in Canada. In fact, three times they came in the middle of the service, the police came to make sure everybody had their mask on and everybody was socially distanced. So as I was speaking with Brother Jack, that scripture, I was glad when they said, "Let us come into the house of the Lord." And we're all looking forward to the time where we can be rejoined. Thankfully, we have a campground on the U.S. side, so we have a chapel there, so the believers on the U.S. side can gather, and we stream our service back to Canada, and on Sunday morning, they stream the service up to where we are. So I'd like to have your seats just for a moment before I read a scripture. I want to just give my own testimony that I believe with all my heart that we are the most blessed people who have ever walked on planet Earth. To live in the time that we're living in, to see what we see and to hear what we hear and to know what we know and to see we have tomorrow's headlines today. And it seems like day by day by day by day, the prophecies that Brother Branham laid down are coming into manifestation. Amen. I've also done a lot of studying about the age that we're living in, and there has been an invasion of insanity that has struck the world. Brother Branham said in 1964 that if time were to go on for 50 years, the whole world will be in total insanity. So that would have been 2014. And here we are 7 years down the road from that. And the only way that I can rationalize the world that we're living in, we know there's only one sane mind. That is the mind of Christ. And so it is impossible for a sane mind to understand an insane mind any more than an insane mind can understand a sane mind. And the world has been bamboozled by the devil. And it's hard to come to grips with, but 99.99% of the people in the world do not know what you and I know. They have no idea that God has come again for a second time, this time in word form, which is a more powerful form than the time he came the first time. Because now, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all the mysteries of God have been revealed. You know, you think back when Brother Branham, the first message that Brother Branham ever spoke, was faith is the substance. That was the first message that was recorded and was printed. The first seven words that Brother Branham spoke said, "Now we're getting some gadgets for recording." Now think about that. Brother Branham, at that time in his ministry, there's no way he could have known the extent and the magnitude and the scope that his message was going to have all over the world. But God had the first seven words he spoke as a little signal for me. I hope it is for you. Now we're getting some gadgets for recording. Recording the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now you and I, every one of us, we are in a great battle. Brother Branham called it the greatest battle ever fought. And your battle is not my battle, and my battle is not your battle. Some may be going through a physical battle. a financial battle, a spiritual battle, an emotional battle. Maybe it's a battle with family. Maybe it's a battle at work. All different kinds of battle. But it's the greatest battle ever fought. And in Ephesians 6, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers and evil spirits in high places. Now, these are real supernatural entities. It's the army of the enemy. It's like he has his generals and captains and sergeants and privates. And they know each one of us. They have a script on each one of us. They know where we're weak. They know where we have fallen in the past. And sometimes it seems like they organize a SWAT team, and that SWAT team comes after us, and it battles us. And you can feel that eerie presence of the devil sometime when you know you're getting ready to be attacked. And that's the time to get on our knees. And Brother Branham, as I was reading, he was given instructions on how to fight the enemy. He says that we should cut him, chop him, whack him, slice him, maim him, kick him out, cast him out, kill him. Now, Brother Branham, he was talking about taking the sword of the Spirit, the armor of God. You know, it's more important when we wake up in the morning to put on the armor of God than it is to put on our natural clothing. When I wake up in the morning, there's got to be two deaths. I got to die, and the devil's got to die. First thing in the morning, bind that yapping dog before he can even get started. Take control over him. Let him know who you're going to serve. Let him know the power of God is greater than all the power that he can muster. Think about the billions of people that are walking around on this world, and they have literally become puppets of Satan. He tells them what to look at. He tells them what's important. He tells them what to give their time and their attention to. He tells them that the stars of the world, whether they're business stars or political stars or sports stars or music stars or any kind of stars, he tells them that those are the kind of stars that they should be looking at. But I'm so thankful that God has sent the seventh star in this day. And that seventh star has given us a blueprint of God's word, of what is important to us. And if we keep our eyes fixed on that, like a pit bulldog on a meat wagon, I'm going to follow your word, God. I know this word leads to eternal glory. What greater thing could we ask for than eternal life? Could you imagine if somebody could say, I've got a bottle of elixir here, and I can guarantee you 1,000 years of life. What do you think some of these billionaires, what do you think they would give in an auction if they could be guaranteed 1,000 years of life? And 1,000 years of life, it cannot even be measured against eternity, because there's no time in eternity. And so we're down here on the earth for a very short time. Even Solomon, in all Solomon's glory, after he had backslid, after he had finally come to grips with what he had and who he was and where he was. Richest man in the history of the world up until that time, he said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, a mere chasing after the wind. And so here we are, friends, on a supernatural, mystical journey. God has captured your attention, and God has given us the privilege of opening this Bible. This Bible, friends, this is a supernatural book. 66 books, 40 different authors, and yet every one of those books, they dovetail. The Jews had hundreds of prophecies of Messiah, and that Messiah was coming. And yet when he came, they missed him. Right. They called him every kind of a foul name you could think about. Uh-huh. And finally, they took him and they put him on a cross. Hallelujah. I have listened to probably 50 or more testimonies of Jews who became Christians. I'm not talking about message Christians, but just Christians. And when they are converted, they look back and they say, oh, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 9, 6, how could our ancestors have missed it? How could they have crucified their own Messiah? And they go back to family and they go back to friends and they try to testify and they try to witness to them, and many of them are put out of their family. You know, the worst thing that can happen in a Jewish family is for one of their children to get married to a, this is how they say it, a Christian? A pagan Christian? One who worships three gods? How could my son, how could my daughter have been so deluded to follow after paganism? And many of those rabbis have never darkened the first page of the New Testament because they know it's a lie. They know it's wrong in their own minds. But one day, 144,000 of them are going to be quickened by Moses and Elijah. And as we stand, I'm going to have you read in the Word with me in Luke chapter 24. But I think of what happened in Texas just last week. God sometimes, you know, the Brother Branham preached that message, the flashing red light of his coming. Do you know in Texas, they experienced a mini tribulation in Texas. They went without electricity, some of them for 5 days. In the midst of the most brutal cold they can remember since back in the 1980s. No electricity, no heat. The generators didn't work. And those little children running around, Mommy, I'm cold. Mommy, I'm cold. And they were hungry. And they didn't have any fresh water. They didn't have any fresh water to brush their teeth or to bathe with. And we can't even imagine what those people went through. But that is just a warm-up. That's a mini, mini, mini amateur tribulation for what the world has got. You know, my pastor who brings greetings to you, Brother Biscoe and Brother Tom Ray and Brother John Andes and all the other ministers with us. Brother Biscoe, when I would travel with him all around the world at special meetings, when he was under a severe anointing and he was trying to get the word and just nail the word down, he said, this is God's word. He said, you have two choices. You can either receive it or welcome to the tribulation. As we turn to the Bible, in Luke 24, verse 1, and before we read, let's pray. Father, how thankful I am that Brother Jack has opened the door to have me come and visit with the saints. How much I enjoyed our fellowship the last time and our trip down to Boynton Beach, and he took me around the president's White House down there, and Brother Quentin allowed me to drive in a Tesla, and I went back home with so many wonderful experiences. But this is a new experience, God. It's a new day. It's a new hour. Your children have new needs tonight, and I pray that you would meet those needs. The Bible said that you would give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, as long as those desires are centered upon the revealed word, the redemptive blessings of the resurrection, you are obligated to your word. A prophet of God said to you, the high priest sitting at the right hand of majesty, waiting to make good all the redemptive blessings of the resurrection. So we come to you tonight, Lord, confessing that your word is true, confessing that we are your children, confessing that we are a needy people, and confessing that we believe all that you have promised in your word would come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for the hour, for this gathering, and we ask all these blessings with a great confidence for we ask it in your precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this message that we believe, it is spoken to us in a language that it takes the token to understand it. And like I said, this is a supernatural book. And God has to open your eyes to it, to see it. The Bible said he's a rewarder of those who diligently search after him. So once God opens our eyes, it was him that called us. We didn't go looking for him. He came looking for us. But when he found us, then he says, now go and search my word and you will find me. And so in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, and you can have your seats. I'd like to speak to you tonight a thought entitled A Paradigm Shift. And many people, they have known the definition of a paradigm. For a long time, we've known that a paradigm is a model or an example. Like if you would say about a senior sister in the church, that sister, she is a paradigm of virtue. In other words, she's a model or an example of virtue. But probably about 20 years ago, it came into our vernacular, the word a paradigm shift. So a paradigm shift is a radical change of thought brought about by a very unusual event or a keen insight into a matter. If I can repeat that, a paradigm shift is a radical change of thought brought about by a very unusual event or a keen insight into a matter. Now, the story is told of a man in New York City. At 6 o'clock in the morning, he was with his two children, 4 and 6 years old, and the subway came to a stop, and the man got on the subway with his two children, and there was only one seat available, so the man sat down, and each one of the children sat on his lap. And as the subway began to proceed, the man just kind of nodded out. So his children, being young, they just got up, and they began to play. And they began to run up and down the aisle. And as they ran, their little elbows, one hit a newspaper. One of them hit a man's elbow, and it tipped over coffee all over his suit and tie. And as they continued on this, the people who were looking at them, they were angry. In fact, if looks could kill those children, they would have been corpses. And finally, one man walked up, and he got right in the face of the sleeping man, and he said, "Sir!" And the man jumped up startled. He said, what's wrong? He said, Your children are causing a ruckus here. They are juvenile delinquents, and you are a parent delinquent." And now the man got up and looked, and every eye on that subway was trained on him. And he began to apologize. He said, "Please forgive me." He said, I should have been taking better care of my children. I'm so sorry. He said, "But I've been through a horrible experience." He said, "Last night we were at the supper table, and my wife began to get a horrible headache. And finally, we had to take her to the emergency room, and they took her in. And a couple hours later, they came back. And she was gone. She'd had an aneurysm." And he said, and now it's just a few hours ago, and my mind is just spinning. He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any family here." And and I don't know about my children, how they're going to go to school and who's going to take care of them. And so please, forgive me. And all of a sudden, those people that had looked upon that man with anger and disgust, all of a sudden, that man had only spoken less than 2 minutes, and their minds had been turned 180 degrees. And one man walked up with his thermos bottle and gave him a cup of coffee. Another man walked up and put some money into his hand. And then it seemed like a parade of people coming up there and trying to comfort the man and giving money. And the women were reaching into their purses and taking out gum and candy for the children and talking to them. And finally, one man, he walked up. He said, "Sir," he said, I don't mean to, you know, try to be a big shot, but I do have a large company here in town. And I don't know what kind of work you do, but whatever kind of work you do, I will find a position for you in my company. And whatever kind of salary that you are earning, I will increase it to make up for the additional expenses you're going to have being without your wife." And so you think about how quickly a man's mind can change if they get the right information that corrects what they had initially looked at. Amen. You know, the only exercise some people ever get is jumping to conclusions. So let's talk in the Bible about some paradigm shifts in the Bible. The first one we can talk about is the angels that rebelled against God. Rebelled against the one who created them, and they were listening to one of the created ones. And when they got kicked out of heaven, they got a real paradigm shift. They left glory. They left heaven. They left paradise. They left a place where, you know, they were worshiping God, and they saw they had been deceived, and now they had lost their inheritance. Then the next paradigm shift we see is Adam and Eve. There in the garden, every day God would come down in the cool of the evening. They were amateur gods, had control over all of the garden, control over all the animals, the lions, the tigers, the elephants, the bears, all the way down to the smallest animal. And when Satan, who had been cast down, there is a term, it's called epigenosko, and it's a Greek term which means having a knowledge of the principles of life. And Satan now, who had been cast down, he is observing God in creation. And he's watching and watching and watching. And because he had a knowledge of the principles of life, he was able to discern that the serpent and Eve could procreate. I believe at one time that serpent, he might have been just a harmless serpent walking around the garden, until Satan came and entered into him. And he began to speak to Eve. He said, "Yea, has God said you can't eat out of all the trees in the garden?" She said, "Oh no, we can eat out of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, God said you shall not eat it or touch it, lest you die." So the serpent, he comes back and he quotes the word back to her almost perfectly. He said, "You shall not surely die." So he inserted the word "not." And Cain was of the product of the "not," and therefore he came to naught. Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. Put out of their close fellowship and contact with God. The serpent, he got a paradigm shift. After his success, he was probably like a lawyer. He was probably walking around. He was probably pretty happy with what he had done. Pretty happy with his success. And when God came, he said, Adam, where are you? And he wasn't asking him, what tree are you behind? He was asking him, where are you in your spiritual life? Look where you have fallen from. What happened? Now, remember, Adam entered into that sin because of his agape love for Eve. He loved her. Didn't want to lose her. So he enters into the sin. Then when God asked him what happened, he said, that woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. What happened to his agape love? He had a radical paradigm shift. And then God said to the woman, what is this you have done? She said, the serpent beguiled me, or he seduced me, or he deceived me, and I did eat. Now, here's a serpent standing there. Brother Brent's a great, big, tall fella, about 10 feet tall. And God said, because you have done this. He didn't say because you have said this. Because you have done this on your belly. Whack! From a 10-foot tall. I don't know how long that snake was, Brother Jack. Might have been a 10-foot snake. Paradigm shift. How about Noah and his family? They went from a very advanced civilization with billions of people on the earth. I was showing Brother Jack a quote where Brother Branham said, in Noah's day, there were more people on the earth than there are now. And only eight went in the boat. They left one civilization, and when they landed on dry ground, it was a brand new civilization. They were the only human beings left out of billions. How about Abraham and Sarah? One day, old man and an old woman. Next moment, young man and a young woman. Abraham probably said, Sarah, what's happened to you? She said, I don't know, Abraham, but whatever happened to me, I think it's happened to you too. Amen. Jacob had to wrestle with the angel of the Lord. And the angel touched his thigh. Right. And after he touched his thigh, he limped all the rest of his life. He was now Israel. And everybody that saw him said, see that? That used to be Jacob. But now it's Israel. Because the angel of the Lord touched him. And now he walks different. He talks different. He thinks different. Everything about that man is different. Why? He wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And every one of us here tonight, if you are a true believer of this message, you have wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And you have had a paradigm shift from the religious world that you were once in or the worldly life that you once had to this brand new supernatural life. I think about the Philistines. When David went there and cut off Goliath's head, they went from being, you know, yeah, we're the best, we're the most powerful. But when David cut off his head,
changed them. And they ran for the hills. When Samson, when he had a paradigm shift, when he's there and he's grinding away, grinding at the wheel, and the fuzz started growing back on his head. And the more fuzz grew back, the faster he grinded, and he grinded, and he grinded. You know, if that was me, if I was one of those Philistine leaders, he would have got a buzz cut 5 times a day. There would not have been a chance for one bit of peach fuzz ever to grow back on that head. And he said, Lord, just once more. And in his death, he killed more Philistines than he did when he was alive. And Brother Branham said, when those Philistines, before they captured him and took his eyes out, when even the name of Samson was mentioned, they would quake and they would tremble. And finally, how about Elijah and Elisha? Elijah, he had a paradigm shift, taken up in a chariot right before Elisha. It was a paradigm shift for him because he was told, if you see that cloak, you'll have the double portion. And he had the double portion. And he did exactly twice as many miracles, miraculous signs, as Elijah had done. And now we go back to Luke 24. Verse 2. And they found a stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, now here's the two angels speaking to the women that are there at the tomb. They had not been able to dress the body on Friday because the Sabbath was entering in. So they had to wait until the beginning of the end of the Sabbath. And they entered in. And the angel said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8 says, and they remembered his word. I wonder how many times Jesus had repeated those things to them while he was yet with them. But they had spiritual amnesia. And they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things. Told all these things unto the 11 and them that were with them. Now we know who the 11 were, right? Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11, very astounding verse. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. So how many times had the Lord spoke to the apostles? The women hear the two angels, and they believe, and they come back to the apostles, and they don't believe. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering himself at that which was come to pass. Now, I'm sure Peter is thinking, well, I don't know what's going on here. But even if this is true,
even if he has risen from the dead, he's not going to want to see my sorry face after what I did. Denied him three times and cursed that I even knew him. And so he walks away wondering. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. Brother Branham said it was about a six-hour walk. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, this is my own thought. The Jesus that came and walked with them, he was in a totally different form than he was just a few days before. He was in his young body. Maybe. Excuse me, I got something caught in my throat. So maybe all the gray hairs were gone. Maybe Jesus was stooped over from bearing all the burdens that he had, being a homeless man all that time, and because of all the ministry. And Brother Branham talked about the weakness that came upon him, the same kind of weakness that came upon Jesus. And the Bible said, if all the things that Jesus said and did were recorded, all the books in the world could not hold him. So now Jesus went with them. But their eyes were holden, they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? In other words, he said, what's this negative communication all about? What's this bad attitude about? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? In other words, hey, pal, did you just get here? Did you just arrive? Don't you know the things that have happened in Jerusalem the last few days? And Jesus said unto them, what things? So he's checking their revelation, checking to find out what they know. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But now they're giving their testimony. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now just try to imagine if you were Simon and Cleophas and the Lord had to speak to you like this. And he said unto them, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
Can I get a bottle of water, Brother Jack?
Excuse me. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, listen, this is very powerful. And beginning at Moses and all, A-L-L, all the prophets. Remember, this is a six-hour sermon. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. In other words, he was saying, see you guys. Bye-bye. Yeah. Nice knowing you. I'm leaving. But they constrained him. Brother Rand said their character began to show, and they constrained him. And they said, it's late. Come on in. We've got to have fellowship with you. We want to feed you. So they wanted to feed Jesus, but what they didn't know was that Jesus was not done feeding them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were open. Paradigm shift. The man that they were walking with, the man that they thought they knew was this young man. All of a sudden, their eyes were open and they said, it's the Lord. And he vanished out of their sight. Disappeared. Now try to imagine if you were Simon or Cleophas and the Lord had to speak to you and said, oh, fools and slow of heart. You know, maybe you're temporal. Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? I was with the Lord. I spent 3+ years with him. Maybe Simon said to Cleophas, you ever see this guy around? In the meetings? Oh, no, never did. You ever seen? No, I never seen him either. Well, who does he think he is talking to us like that? But brother, listen. And for 6 hours, he expounded them.
And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up. The same hour. I don't believe they said, well, you know, it's been a long day. We've walked 6 hours. Maybe we ought to rest a while. And maybe, you know, we'll head out tomorrow and we'll tell the apostles what we've learned. No, they rose up the same hour. And I don't believe it took them 6 hours to get back. They were running now with a message. They returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And now here's a testimony to them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Now buckle your seatbelt. We're coming down to a close now. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Here's their response. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposing they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. He didn't say flesh and blood. The blood had already been shed. He said flesh and bone. And when... Well, that's a good stick in my throat. And as he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. In other words, he said, look, right here, that's where they nailed me. And he lifted up his garment. He says, right there, see down there? That's where they nailed my feet. So here he is in another form, appearing unto them after the women, after Simon and Cleophas had testified unto them. And this is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. And while they yet believed not. What? You mean Jesus is standing right in front of them, showing them his hands, showing them his feet, and while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said, have you here any meat? And he gave them a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Probably whoever got the bread and the honey and the meat, they probably didn't want to get too close. Maybe they just lobbed it to him. Still afraid of what's going on here. Why? They are in the middle of a radical paradigm shift. A supernatural paradigm shift. The greatest supernatural paradigm shift that had ever taken place is the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead in his body with his apostles. And he said unto them, these are the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and of the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, Jesus could have said, go get a blind man, or go get a deaf man, or go get a leper, or go get a bowl of water, and I'll turn it into wine. He could have done all those things, but he had done them for 3+ years, and Brother Branham said all he had to show for it was a group of mechanic-filled cowards. Before the paradigm shift, here they were, wondering, terrified, affrighted, even the Lord Jesus Christ appearing right in front of them. After all they had heard in the ministry, and after all these things start coming back to them, they're still terrified. And the Bible says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You see, folks, unless the Lord opens your eyes to this supernatural message, amen, it will just be intellectual knowledge and thinking. And you think you understand it. And you think you know it. But there comes a time in your life as a true believer when you will know that you know that you know that you know that you know. I'll never forget, I had come out of the religious merry-go-round, from Catholic to Baptist, Assembly of God, PTL Bible School, UPC, had all this religious leaven inside of me. And I'm reading and studying the message. And one day, I'm listening, I'm struggling with the serpent seed, struggling with a prophet. And Brother Branham is speaking to a woman. He said, now, sister, I don't know you, and you don't know me. But there is one here that does know you, and he does know me. He said, now, when he, listen, Brother Bram is saying, when he and his spirit comes in, me and my spirit goes away. And he gives me a temporarily resurrection by my spirit. And he wants to use my body. And I'm so happy to loan it to him. Anything he can get out of it. And it was then, friends, I understood a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Let's stand to our feet. Father, the greatness and the magnitude and the power of your word cannot be adequately expressed through a human vessel. But we love you. We believe you with all of our heart. We've had our eyes open as Simon and Cleopas had their eyes open, as the apostles had their eyes open to a wonderful, supernatural, mystical world. As Jesus was a mystic, the people didn't understand him. And so the people don't understand your bride. We're oddballs. We're strange. If they really knew what we believe, they'd probably try to throw us in jail. Or even worse, in an insane asylum. But Father, I thank you for your word and how you have unveiled it to us. I thank you for each believer present here tonight. And I pray that you would continue their journey in this word. And I pray that you would give them a passion, a deeper understanding, and a knowledge of who they are, and a understanding of what you have done in our lives and what you have prepared for us throughout all of eternity. And Lord, let us count the price of our salvation. Count the price of our revelation. I want to ask you, friends, if you would testify tonight that you have had that great paradigm shift in your life, and that God has changed you from what you were to what you are. And this is an ongoing evolution, like the caterpillar that goes into the cocoon and comes out the beautiful butterfly. So we are, Lord. We're coming out. We're coming out as beautiful creatures with a wedding garment that is snow white, prepared for the wedding supper. Lord, we thank you for all you've revealed to us. And I pray that you would bless each one of my brothers and sisters here tonight. If they have a need, I pray that you would meet it. I pray that your divine love and grace and mercy would so overshadow them and supercharge and electrify and illuminate and quicken and stimulate, activate, motivate, revelate them, Lord, to the core of their very being, where all they see and all they want to see is Jesus Christ. Can we sing that song? I want to live the way he wants me to live. And Brother Jack, I'm going to ask you to come and take the song service. Sorry about my throat.
The way.
Want this one, Brother Jack?
He wants me to live. I want to give. Just nothing to give. I want to.
just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I can never, oh, I'll love the Lord. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, I want to live the way He wants me to live. Yes, I want to give until there's just no more to give. Hey, I want to love, oh, love till there's just no more love. For I can never, ever outlove the Lord. Amen. Just continue to play softly. How many appreciate the word of the Lord on tonight? Amen. Just the thought of paradigm shift and just a number of examples there that Brother Ernie gave us. And I just love the definition. It's a radical change of thought brought about by an unusual event or through keen insight. And, you know, just you think about what the brothers on the road to Emmaus went through, and that was a tremendous event to see the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, and, you know, how it shifted everybody's thinking. And I appreciate that, but the story he started off with of the people being on the subway and how they were just criticizing the man for how his children were acting on the subway. But once he shared his story, so shared his testimony, everybody there that heard it went through a paradigm shift. And I tell you, anytime anybody truly hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they hear the word of God, and we've heard how God has sent something, a revelation through a prophet, that caused a paradigm shift for us too. You know, that's why we could never be satisfied in denominations ever again, because we have experienced a paradigm shift, a radical change. We thank God for it. We certainly thank God for it. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise for the word of God tonight. Hallelujah. Man, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we just want to appreciate you taking us through this paradigm shift. Lord, the testimonies of the brothers on the road to Emmaus, and God, just all the other disciples that were missing it. They misunderstood, didn't catch it. But God, after we have the opportunity to kind of read these things, and Lord, we can see a little bit more in Scripture, but I pray that in our day that we don't miss, amen, what you're doing for us and the revealing of the Word of God, how it should have triggered a paradigm shift in so many. God, we can even look lives of some of the people, Lord, and God, just little events that have happened here and there that's caused them to shift their thinking. Lord, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is able to restore all things and give them another paradigm shift. I pray, oh God, that you would just do, Lord, only what your word says that you can do. And we trust, God, that you would just get all the glory and all the honor. Thank you for our brother laboring to bring this thought here tonight. And we know the enemy was fighting him, but God, we thank you that he has the victory. And ask that you just completely touch him, Lord. And Father, the devil doesn't like when this word goes forth, even tonight. We don't know who was listening, those online and those that are inside the church, still going through paradigm shifts. The devil wants to fight that, but he can't stop it. He didn't start it, so he can't stop it. So, Lord, I pray that the word would reach its a destination tonight. And God, that people would be able to hear what the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. And God, that a change would take place in their hearts and in their lives. God, as we prepare to leave this place but not your presence, may we go fellowshipping on the word of God. And may you come as the stranger in Luke 24. May you come amongst us again, Father, and speak to us once again, even as we're traveling home. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for another day on tomorrow and all the different events that will be coming over the next few days. And as we come back on Sunday morning, speak once more to us, God. We're careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. God bless you.